Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
We're on episode number 86. Sorry, I thought I interrupted you. I kept thinking about the echoes at the beginning that say, podcast, podcast, podcast. and then I zoned out. So, and the person who's zoning out, my name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priya Darshini.
And I am Shamali.
And so we are on chapter 10, text number 39. And ladies, I think we'll be able to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 10.
Oh, yeah. That's exciting.
This episode.
Isn't chapter 10 one of the longest ones? I mean, it has 42 texts.
It felt like it was 75,000 texts, but they were beautiful texts. They were so beautiful. No, they were actually very, very beautiful. And so I think at the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna was like, hey, Krishna, how do you want me to remember you? What are your love languages? And so Krishna goes into a lot of detail of how he can be remembered and the different things in this life, in this existence, that are Krishna.
Right, right. Beautiful.
You said it. That's it.
All right.
And he's just going to keep going.
He's going to keep going. I'm excited. Y'all excited?
I'm excited. So excited.
I'm so excited. All right. Conclusion of chapter 10, Kijai. All right. Invocation, please, ladies.
Om Jnana Timirandasya. Yananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. All right. This is exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
So exciting.
Chapter 10, text number 39, Priyadarshini.
Before we go there, I just had to look up how many verses are in each chapter because I was like, oh, which one is the longest? And give me 2 seconds.
Are you ChatGPTing this? Because
I didn't, and I should have done that. I literally just Googled it and it came up, but I can only see some of them.
That's okay. I'm going to kill time. So chapter 10, I also ChatGPTed a little bit of the Gita, and actually chapter 10 in particular. Okay. Krishna reveals his divine manifestations, illustrating omnipotence.
Yes.
Very nice. And omnipresence. And here's the best, most important part. Urging Arjuna to recognize and worship him in all aspects of existence. Mm. That's the whole shebang for chapter 10.
I love that.
The whole shebang.
Beautiful.
I love that so much. Mm. And now to answer the question of the longest chapter.
Yeah.
It's actually chapter 18.
18.
It has 78 verses.
Ooh, holy moly.
Girl.
Yeah.
All right.
Long chapter.
We've already read the second most longest, which is chapter 2 with 72 verses.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That's one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah. So we got this, guys.
Okay.
All right. Amazing. All right. So are we ready to get started? Priyadarshini, chapter 10, text number 39.
Yes. Furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existence. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me.
Mm, beautiful. He just, bam, says it as it is.
Is this seed or like seed?
Seed.
Oh, and also probably seed.
Yeah, like both.
Okay, got it. Okay.
The purport is super short. He's basically saying everything has a cause, and that cause or seed of manifestation is Krishna. So, right, it is the seed that would continue life. Right?
Ah, the seed.
The seed.
The seed. But also the seed for plants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the father of all of us. So he's just meaning like we have Krishna in all our hearts. We have Krishna in all of us. So therefore he is like the progenitor. What's that word? Is that the right word?
Progenitor, I think.
No, a progenitor was like ancestors. I mean, yeah, that, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. He's the original progenitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of
all
of us. Yeah.
Great word.
Thank you.
Great word. Great word.
And why he's called omnipotent is because without his energy, Prabhupada says nothing can exist. That's why he's omnipotent. And without his potency, neither the movable nor immovable can exist.
When they're talking about like non-moving things that are also created by Krishna, do they mean like trees or cars?
Abhijit is saying what? Trees. Like, okay. Yeah, rocks, trees, inanimate objects, right? No. But,
well, I was thinking, I mean, I'm opening the discussion, right? Because I think it's like, technically speaking, like trees are living entities.
So he's talking about living entities.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is it, there is no being, Krishna says, there is no being moving or non-moving that can exist without me.
So being sounds like something living, right? Like trees.
Then. Yeah, that's what the non-moving refers to more of those, like you were saying, you know, trees. What are other examples?
Mountains.
Ooh, I love that one. Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Coral reefs.
Palm trees. Oh, all different kinds of trees, I guess.
Imagine it just lists a
apple
bunch of trees.
Pear trees. Pine trees. Coconut
banana
trees.
Banana trees.
Banyan trees.
I don't think that's what Krishna meant.
Okay, can we go back to
omnipotent?
Omnipotent or omnipotent?
Omnipotent. I think that's correct. Omnipotent. Yes, omnipotent.
So right. Without Krishna's energy, nothing can exist. Therefore, he is called omnipotent.
Omnipotent. Omnipotent.
I think you're...
Omnipotent.
I think your lady has a funny accent. Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. And so the definition... Because I don't know what that word means, but like just...
So tell us the definition.
Okay. Omnipotent means having unlimited power or able to do anything.
Mm. So right, Krishna would be the only omnipotent one because no one can do anything.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Like a lot of superheroes can do a lot of things, but they do anything.
Yeah.
And he has no Achilles heel, Krishna.
No.
He invented the Achilles
his devotees.
Heel.
Yeah, but like not in like a bad way, you know?
Yeah,
right, but in a very sweet way, totally. His devotees debilitate him with their love.
Wait. So you say that Krishna's kryptonite is his devotee's love?
Yeah.
Or lack thereof, because then he feels sad.
Yeah.
So love. Devotee's love. Interesting. Yeah. But I don't think it makes him like weaker. Like, you know how like Superman is like just a bag of nothing with kryptonite around him?
Right. Yes. Right.
You know?
I think it like captures him. It bounds him.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I think for Krishna, it's like an emotional capture, not like a physical inability to do things.
Got it.
Right,
okay.
Right. Like we can control him with our love, but in a good way, because if you have the ability to control Krishna, it's only going to be with pure love. And if you have pure love, you're not going to want to misuse that control.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's
yeah,
true,
like, we,
yeah.
I mean, we can bring it down to like a different level, like a friendship. Like when you really love your friend and they ask you to do something really silly.
Like pick you up from LAX.
That's not that bad.
She's going to insert it out. In 2 months, I need you. Boom.
I need you to pick me up at LAX, by the way.
She can't say no on air.
That's your trick. No, but you know what I mean? It's like with love comes like a certain level of moving people's emotions and influence. So I think when, you know, our love is Krishna's kryptonite in some way, but obviously not. And he's... What was the word we just said? Omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
So, do you need my lady to say it again?
No, please.
Okay, cool.
I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
All right.
And the last line is interesting that in the purport it says, whatever existence is not founded on the energy of Krishna is called Maya, that which is not. Mm. I haven't heard that definition of Maya, that which is not.
Interesting. Yeah,
that
me
is very
neither.
Interesting.
Like Krishna is that which is, Maya is that which is not.
Or is Maya that which is not Krishna?
Probably that. I don't know.
Yeah. And so therefore, if it's not, which means it doesn't exist, which means it is illusion.
Oh.
Okay, wait, say that again.
Okay, so if Maya is something that is, quote, that which is not, which means it doesn't exist, it means it's illusion.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I a scholar?
Are you a scholar?
Am I a scholar?
I think you are.
No one ever thought that three of us.
We thought I would
be the scholar.
you never thought. We thought.
We've known that you're a scholar. You just have to let your scholarly ways come out.
I was just joking. But that's wild, right, Maya?
I love that. Guys, we got there point by point.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Okay. Very nice.
Text 40, Shama Sangeeta.
All right, Krishna is saying, is this Krishna saying?
Yes.
It is Krishna saying. Okay. He's talking to Arjuna. Oh, right. I zoned out of this whole conversation. Krishna and Arjuna are the characters of this book, right? Okay, got it. Okay, got it. Okay, so Krishna is speaking. He says, oh, mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences.
I love that. That at the end of such an expansive list, he's like, but we've barely scratched the surface. Don't even worry.
Remember, he's like, we love Krishna because he is very self-aware and he's also very efficient. Remember? Right. So he's saying to Arjuna, oh, Arjuna, there's no end to my divine manifestations. There's a lot. And I'm not going to, this book can be 75,000 chapters if I told you everything that I was. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm going to spare you. I'm just going to give you the highlight reel.
Yeah.
And have you go on your way because you have a war to fight. Remember that?
Yeah. I think it also, it goes to show that Krishna is not limited by the few things he said so far. Right.
Right.
Because he is limitless, because he is everything in everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah, I like
great
that.
Movie.
Yeah,
great movie. Totally. Great movie.
So I think that's kind of him saying, like, this is not the end. Like,
right,
as you said.
Right. Right. Prabhupada's saying, like, all of the opulences and energies of Krishna can be understood in different ways, but there's no limit to the opulences. So that means that not all of the opulences and energies can be explained. And I love the last line. Prabhupada writes, well, simply a few examples are described to Arjuna to pacify his inquisitiveness. Krishna's like, okay, okay, I'll tell you a few, because let's remember Arjuna asked in the first place.
That makes sense.
So he's doing his friend a favor by saying, like, he's answering Arjuna's question, like, how Krishna do you want us to remember you? But he's also being concise. So he's very kind friend.
Yes.
Because you know that friend that could just babble on and on and on and on.
That's not me. That's not me.
Krishna. That's not Shyamali either. That's not Shyamali or Krishna.
At all.
Right?
For some reason, this reminded me of...
that was cute. Like,
it reminded me of just like my... Okay, I'm going to say something silly, but my nibbling. Have you guys heard that word?
I'm sorry.
You're going to have to explain it because my mind always goes to bad places.
I said nibbling.
Nibbling.
Like tiny chewing?
No. So.
okay, now I lost you. I'm Witch Emily now. I have no idea. Now my mind's in bad places.
Okay, I actually just wanted an excuse to bring that word up because I recently learned it. And it actually is, it's a gender neutral way of saying niece or nephew.
Right.
So wait, sorry, one more time?
So nibbling is like a gender neutral way of saying niece or nephew.
Did you learn this from a Gen Z?
I learned it from a book because I read them occasionally.
So what's the connection, Priya?
Okay, so yes. So I know I was going there. So, but I just really wanted to say that
so
word.
So your brother is having a child and that child is going to be your nibbling?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Okay. That's so funny.
And every time I say it, everyone looks at me like, why? Why do you choose to be like this? Because technically I know that my nibbling is going to be my nephew. So I already know, but I like the word nibbling, so I will continue to use it.
So woke of you. Gender neutral.
You know. So anyways, my nibbling Adi, he's in a phase right now where he's just asking why continuously. Mm. Like everything is why. And so I think this is kind of like Krishna going, like in my mind, I was just picturing like when a little kid asks like, oh, like I'll be like, I'm going to the kitchen. He'll be like, why? And so you'll be like, oh, because I'm going to get something to eat. Why? Because I'm hungry. Why? You know, like, so.
Oh my God. How do you have the patience to deal with that?
So I feel like Krishna's like, you have a lot of whys and whats and whos and
right.
What. So I'm going to tell you as much as you need to know, even though there's a million other things I could tell you. I'm just going to tell you like the things that are going to satisfy the why.
That's so
that's
real.
Good. The that's good.
So that's how I that's what
I
like came up.
That. Thank I you like for that story about your nibbling.
Thank you for embracing the word nibbling.
What a fun word.
Right? I like it.
Charlie, that's how nibbling.
I can't say on air what that makes me think of.
Oh, Shyamali.
I'm sorry.
Chapter 10.
Moving on to text 41.
Yeah. Anything else on 40?
No. Nibbling's all I got.
Yeah. All right. 41. Okay. Shyamali.
Okay. This is one of my favorite texts. Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor.
Wow.
Oh, I visualize that.
Wow.
Know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor.
Okay, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
I thought of whenever I was trying to visualize that beautiful thing, I imagined Krishna like floating, you know, like as Vishnu, like as we see that picture of Krishna,
right.
A little spark coming out of him. And then I was like, oh, like what would be the you know, the human equivalent of something like that? And my brain thought, oh, it's like a human being, like the least amount of something that they can give off is like a little drop of sweat.
What?
And I know that sounds ridiculous, but basically it's like so minute, but that's how minute that spark where we all come from.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see where you're going with that.
Visualizing it in a
tiny,
human,
like a bead of sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A tiny bead of sweat.
Yeah.
Sure. No, I was like, that's not the beautiful imagery I was trying to see.
The bead of sweat from Krishna or from us.
Well, I was
you
just trying to
me.
Like,
who's sweat?
Well,
it's sweat in general. Oh, you're talking about the quantity.
Yes, I was talking about like
anyone's
the
sweat.
The quantity of like a human being and sweat is similar to Krishna and the spark that created all of us.
Sure.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Do other examples.
You know, when I was growing up Hindu, right? And my mom used to drag me to all these temples, and I saw this verse carved on a giant wooden plaque. Mm. And I had no idea what it was about. I didn't know who my was, because Krishna uses the word my splendor. And I'm like, who is this, right? But I remember always looking at this giant wooden plaque, knowing that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. And as a kid, I read that. I thought it was so beautiful, but I was like, who is my? Like, I had never understood.
That's so cute.
And then fast forward, 20, I don't want to disclose my age, but like a lot of years later, like now I finally understand who my is. It's my splendor. It's Krishna's splendor.
Aww, yeah.
So yeah, that's just full circle. I remember that when I was like a kid, like 7 years old, reading that verse. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful. Amazing. I love those moments when you can look back and be like, wow, something that meant so much to me fully makes sense now.
Yeah, fully makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So Prabhupada's basically saying whenever we're in a glorious, beautiful place or anything in existence that's glorious and beautiful, we should know it to be just a fragmental little manifestation of Krishna's opulence. And he says, whether that be in the spiritual or material world, interesting enough. So anything extraordinarily opulent is coming from Krishna's opulence.
Yeah. Are there any national parks or something, like places that you've been to that was like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful place in the world? Any of them?
I was actually, I was going to bring this up later, but I'll say it now. When I read, this is one of my like all-time favorite texts. Yeah. I have a few, but this one just makes me think of, because, you know, he's talking about stuff that spring from a spark of his splendor. And there's these springs, these hot springs in Mammoth Lakes where my dad lives. And when you go there at night, you're in this like beautiful rippling gold field and you're in this like hot spring, which is like a natural hot tub just bubbling from the earth. And so you're surrounded by golden fields and in the distance.
Golden fields?
Because it's kind of like golden hay, grass.
Oh, okay.
It looks like golden fields, you know? Yeah. So we go there often for sunset. So the sun is setting, you see the golden fields around, and then the sunset transforms to nighttime. And literally you can see the Milky Way galaxy when the sun, when the night sky is so visible, you see it and you see the kind of edge of the snowy white mountains in the distance. You're in the middle of nowhere. You see the Milky Way galaxy when the visibility is strong, every single star there, it looks like you can see the matrix of like, you look up and that must be the heavenly planets is just beyond there. And to think of the epicness of what I feel when I'm there, and that is just a little spark that's springing from his splendor. It's hard to wrap your mind around because that's so splendidly glorious when you're there, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I was transported for a second. Mm. Yeah. There's also this, Dupree, do you have one? Do you want me to go?
Go ahead.
So there's this beautiful mountain in upstate California. Have you guys heard of Mount Shasta?
You've told me about it.
Yeah.
Describe what is it?
And so actually if you believe in like everyone has chakras and so the earth also has chakras. And so the root chakra of planet Earth is known to be at Mount Shasta, which is It's like you feel a different energy when you're there, but it's one of the most beautiful mountains I've ever seen. And so like, if that is so beautiful, can you imagine how beautiful Krishna is, right? If he's just a spark of that beauty of that mountain, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And thinking of like, whether you're in Mount Shasta or in the hot springs of Mammoth Lakes. And then my visual is like, okay, we go for sunset and then the moon comes up. And Krishna's also said, I'm both the sun and the moon. Mm. So like, you can see Krishna then everywhere with what we've broken down in chapter 10. Every single thing of beauty you can see as Krishna.
You could feel it like when we were doing our photo shoot like a little while ago. Like literally thinking just that. The sunset that we were just doing a photo shoot right in front of that glorious sunset. And you, there's like, you could feel the divine.
Yeah.
You could feel Krishna in those moments.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The tide was low. So that was reflecting the color from the sky. So you had all the like colors in the sky and all the colors on the ground we were walking on mirroring through the like watery mirror of the ocean. And it was just so magical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think living in Texas, I don't know if you remember, Shamali, but I don't remember the skies being as beautiful as I see them here. Like the reds and the orange and the pinks and the purples and like the it's a light show created by Krishna. Like it's an amazing experience.
A good way to put it.
You know, it's like
light show.
And then you've the energy in that, in the fresh air and the ocean. Like for me, I really do see Krishna when I see the ocean and when I see the sunset, like you're saying, like it's incredible to, I always think, I don't know what I've done to deserve to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. And wow, thank you, Krishna, for showing me your beauty in this way. And to think that that's just a spark, right?
Yeah. And
just a bead of sweat.
I like how you said it's a light show create just a bead of sweat.
She had to go back.
Sorry,
it was like perfect. I thought we were over the sweat thing, but now
we're back on. I like how you said a light show created by Krishna. And that's also the right consciousness, because then you start appreciating the artist instead of just the creation, the art piece, because it looks like a painting done by Krishna every night or every evening. But then you think of, well, who's the artist behind this? The grand artist.
Yeah. So if we remember like the importance of this verse is anytime you see anything beautiful, just know that it is a tiny little spark of Krishna. And another thing that I took from this verse is like that sunset happens every day, right? Yeah. And so even if you haven't appreciated Krishna for years or months, like every day is a new day. You can start tomorrow or today appreciating the little things about Krishna. And it doesn't matter if you haven't talked to him for years. I think he'll just be happy that you started the communication.
Beautiful. Yeah.
There's a relating a little bit to your story too, but there's I got introduced to like dark sky spots, you know, like where it's like really, there's no pollution, light pollution at all by actually my husband, Abhijit, when he took me to Death Valley for the first time. And since then we've had the wonderful pleasure of seeing multiple places of just no light pollution at all and being able to see the stars. And I think that's like another place for me where I realize one, how small I am, but like not in a derogatory way or like a minimizing myself, but just how grand the rest of the universe is and how grand it is that like I get to perceive this beautiful thing of just the stars and like the Milky Way. And so I think Shama and I had we've talked about this before. We were like out in the middle of nowhere on a boat on Janmashtami last year. And we were just looking at the stars. And every time I look at the stars, I'm just amazed.
Yeah.
How is it possible to be amazed by the same thing? But it is, because Krishna is so incredible at giving us these beautiful natural beauties that are just small reflections of him. So it's just, that's another way in which I've always felt
connected. And sometimes you have to look for those things, right? Like if you're not feeling it for a while, like get off of your phone, get off the TV and like go for a drive for an hour or two outside of your city and like look for it, right? Because sometimes we get so bogged down by the rat race of work and school and kids and all the stuff that we have to do that we don't have access to those moments, right? Or we don't make time for those moments. So feel free to like go on a hike or be in nature, like you have to sometimes force yourself to get out of your life a little bit just to remember the beauty that's out there.
And connect.
Nice. And connect.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to like not think for a while and just meditate on Krishna and his holy name.
Yeah.
Die.
Beautiful. Love
all
that.
All right. We on the last verse of chapter 10.
So.
What is this? I hope you tune in because there's a rap coming up. you know?
Yeah.
There's a wrap coming up, and we are also going to talk about our own manifestations of how we actually visualize this or embody this chapter. So stick around. But let's, for now, here is the last verse of chapter 10.
Okay. Jama Sangeeta, right?
Jamala.
Who read the last one?
Oh, no, I read the last one. So Priyadarshini.
Oh, never mind. Priyadarshini.
All right. Text 42. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detail knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe.
I love that. Do you want to read it again?
Whoa. Yeah. Yes. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Wow.
Interesting. What is he trying to say here, Krishna?
I think he's trying to say that, like, oh, I have all these qualities and all, I'm the greatest of this and I'm the greatest of that. But like all of that greatness is not even used to maintain or support the entire universe. I'm only using a speck of that.
Right.
A bead of sweat.
Right. He's zooming out
now
again.
Now your sweat thing is appropriate, not, actually.
Yes, yes, yes. He's like described so much of himself and he's like, but we're still looking at the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. Like, let's zoom out. I'm still everything else that we haven't even begun to talk about.
This is like a humble flex. I kind of love this verse a little bit because he's like, Arjuna, like let's be honest, okay? Like, you don't need to know all of this because, yeah, I'm pretty great, but even just the tiniest bit of me is the greatest, right? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, because basically he's saying Krishna is represented throughout the entire material universe by his entering into all of the things as the super soul. So here, Prabhupada says the Lord is saying to Arjuna, there's no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. Because basically from Brahma, the most gigantic entity, all the way down to the smallest ant, all things exist because the Lord has entered all of them and is sustaining everything.
Mm. Wow. I love that.
Yeah, Prabhupada's also saying that Krishna is the origin of everyone born and no one is greater than him. Now, we've heard this a million times before. And I think Prabhupada's just reminding us because of all these qualities, we can remember again, he is the greatest of everyone. Mm. And so he then goes on to say a little bit more. He goes, in the Padma Purana, it is said that one who considers the Supreme Lord Krishna in the same category with demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes an atheist at once.
That's a big sentence.
Yeah, I think he's really trying to differentiate this supreme personality of Godhead. Like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are great devotees of Krishna, but they are not
Krishna.
Omnipotent.
Right, because they themselves still came from Krishna. So exactly. No one is above Krishna.
Yeah. So I found that super.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. And no one's superior to him. No one is equal to him. So basically Prabhupada says from Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, he concludes, therefore, Lord Krishna is in fact worshipable.
Yeah, I could see. One of these things.
Yeah.
Even if Krishna was like, I am the sun, I'd be like, yep, I probably worship you. Yeah. Like, even if one of these things.
Oh my gosh, like, that's so true. Because not to say that, but there is a general like world culture of like worshiping celebrities and all they have is fame.
Yeah.
To put it that way. Or all they have is
that's so true.
Or like billionaires and all they have is wealth. And like here is Krishna having all the opulences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I think anything else on this last verse before we go into our realizations on this verse?
No, I think Krishna has told us so much about him and I'm excited to see what else he tells us about himself. But what, how do you guys connect to Krishna?
Yeah. Cause remember Arjuna is asking what, like the whole point of this whole chapter was like, Arjuna was asking like, what's your love language, Krishna? Like, how do you want us to remember you? How do you want to be worshipped? And like, where can we find you essentially, right? Mm. And so it's in all of these different things that we talked about for the last few episodes. Yeah. So my question to you ladies is, what are the things that you see Krishna in the most.
And right? Here we're not talking about going to the temple deities. We're talking about what we've talked about in the universal creation from chapter 10.
In the opulences,
yeah. Right. Because of course, when one goes to the temple, that's a whole other experience. You're seeing Krishna face to face in the form of a deity, but that's not what was mentioned here. Yeah. So we're choosing then?
From the text that we've read so far.
Who wants to go first?
Go, Shama.
All right. Okay. So I have two. Okay.
Okay.
So I loved in text number 38, I believe that was last episode, Krishna says this one particular line, right? He says, "Of secret things, I am silent." Right?
That, I was also going to
say
that.
Great verse.
That was great.
I'd love to know your thoughts on it too, Shamli. But like, it's like when you are silent, like that's when like stuff, like deep, this is sounds so frivolous, but like deep stuff comes to you. You
it's
know what
not
mean?
Frivolous.
Like,
yeah.
Like I do stand-up comedy and like my job is to talk and I talk a lot all the time. whereas like sometimes I just need a break from talking. And it's in those moments of silence where I can like understand my purpose. I see Krishna, like I meditate on Krishna. I can hear Krishna back to me. It is in those moments where we've stopped talking and like put the entire world outside and then you're silent within yourself and you're meditating where you're like, oh, okay, I got it. I feel you. And like that is so powerful to me, right? It's in those moments of silence that Krishna exists for me. What were you going to say, Shamli?
Yeah. No, continue.
Oh, that's it. I have another one, but we'll go one at a time. Yeah. We'll go round robin. Yeah.
I like that. And I think I've said it also in a previous episode. I think when I've done these sort of retreats where you have to not talk for the whole day and all you focus on is chanting the names of Krishna. And I do think the experience of not talking, it is a really powerful one. Mm-hmm. Especially when you pair it with a spiritual activity.
Totally.
Right? So not talking plus meditating or not talking plus doing japa or not talking plus reading, whatever it might be. There's a lot more space for connection and absorption of what you're doing. And so I totally understand.
In Kali Yuga, like we're so used to distractions, like from TV shows and movies, and literally we can't sit alone without looking and scrolling through our phones, right? And like when we're doing all of those things, it doesn't even give us any time to be silent or to be within ourselves or to think deeply about greater things, right? Because we love distraction. We love those dopamine rushes, right? And so like learning how to be quiet and to be silent and to be okay with that silence and to find something deeper within that silence is such a beautiful journey.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right.
Priya? What were you going to say about it, Shamli?
I was actually going to combine that with, so I just told you my feelings on the text. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor.
Yeah.
So that imagery of being out, you're in this vast field. And there you really, there's so many forms of silence, right? Silence between two people can have so much weight.
Yeah.
But so first of all, the of secret things, I am silence. When I think of that imagery of out in Mammoth, you see the Milky Way galaxy, you feel this surrounding silence all around you in all directions. And it's almost like enveloping you in its embrace, this silence. And you can feel, if you really try, you can imagine feeling God's presence there in a place like that with that silence. And in the distance, you might hear an owl. Like there's just total silence and you hear the water trickling of the hot springs. And it's just so beautiful because it feels like your mind can just relax a little and you're not caught up in all your thoughts and you can just connect with that presence that's always there, but you can feel it even deeper, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, those two verses, I really paint a beautiful thing of secret things, I am silence. And like I said, at my school, it said silence is God's language. So that's where you can feel the super soul.
I love that. I think I was just kind of picturing your imagery and I was also thinking about that's like a perfect way to use all your senses because with your ears, if we're really silent, we're just hearing nature. We're hearing Krishna in the form of like the living entities without a distraction, right? Just like hearing the wind or whatever it might be. With your eyes, you're seeing the Milky Way, which is another representation of Krishna in that form. With your nose, you're smelling the fresh air or, you know, like the sense of whatever, you know, the nature around you. And depending on the moments, maybe with your tongue, I don't know. That might be one of the ones that you could be chanting the holy name. Yeah. And that's another, even though not quite silent, also another form of kind of connecting all your senses. Mm, right. So I think that's really cool. I don't know. I was just picturing all the senses being engaged. Oh, I like that
breakdown. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. You can say a silent prayer there. Yeah. 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 Thank you. Yeah.
What are you, Priya?
For me, it was the two that I mentioned earlier. Or you know,
no
two.
One remembers. What do you say? Everyone's zoned out. Tell us again.
So, I'm just a girl.
Just a girl.
So when Krishna says, let me hear. It says of generals. Oh no, and of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Mm. Right, yep. Being in the ocean is like a reminder of. Mm. The turbulences of life, but it's also like the gentleness. Like I feel like there's just so much that you can experience by being in the ocean, so much freedom and then so much like loss of control, but in a good way and just deep connection to nature. So yeah, I love the ocean. Beautiful. And I love that Krishna of all bodies of water is the ocean.
Mm. Love that. Yeah. Oh, can I go?
Yeah.
We're doing round two, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I have two really quick. Okay. So when Krishna said that he was Agni, which is another word for fire, right? I love fire. I think I might have been a pyromaniac in a past life, just like setting things on fire. I love fire. Like I love every aspect of fire, even like the bond, like y'all did a bonfire for my birthday last year and it was the best because I just love being around.
You could just see Shama staring at the fire the whole time.
Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention to y'all. I was just like, fire's cool. Fire is life. So just knowing that Krishna said that he was fire was amazing. And then the second one was when Krishna said he was a shark among fishes, I am the shark.
So you got over the whale part.
Yeah, I mean, I got over it. I mean, I love whales, but I understand why Krishna actually used the word of fishes. I am the shark.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So one time I went on a solo vacation, which to Hawaii, which was a bad idea because the whole time, because it's a honeymoon destination, I went by myself. So like everyone thought I was so sad and like my like husband had left me or something. Like they're like, are you here just for a table for one? What happened, girl? And so like, it was a weird trip anyways, but I went by myself because I was like trying to like solo travel. Right.
Wow. And that's so adventurous.
Yeah. Right. And so then I went on Groupon and I found this like shark diving like adventure. And I was like, why not? You know, I don't think my mom knows
why
about
not?
This. Yeah, that's who I am. You know me. But true. Like, don't tell my mom. Oh, my mom's probably going to listen to this. Anyways,
she's going to call you later.
She's going to call me right after this. She's like, you went diving with what? Okay, it was sharks. So I found this Groupon, I went shark diving. And like the amount of like, when I was in that cage, like the terror that I felt when the sharks were approaching, but when the sharks got close, I was like, this is the most beautiful creature on the planet.
Oh,
and
really?
It was so gentle, so ferocious, yet so gentle. And I understand why Krishna chose that animal, right?
Oh, interesting.
Because he can be best of both worlds. He can like devour all the demons and all of the enemies that you have in your life, but he can also be this gentle, beautiful, magnanimous creature at the same time.
That's so beautiful.
I mean? Right?
Ferocious. And so like, yet gentle.
I remember like feeling that. I was so terrified, but I was also so in awe of this. Mm. And I think it's kind of what Arjuna felt in the next chapter with the universal form into like a very small degree. But it's like, oh my God, you can tear my head off, but you're also so beautiful and gentle. And I know that you wouldn't. I mean, you might. But but I just remember that feeling of like, okay, I know why Krishna chose this shark in this chapter.
Wow. That is such a good point. Like, it's almost like the prelude to the universal form, which we're about to dive into. And that's ferocious. Arjuna was afraid. Yet here is Krishna, his best friend, his cousin. He loves him. That is such, I didn't think about it ever in that way.
Wild, huh?
Wonderful, like visual. And like, I feel like I understand it better too. Because last time when we read it,
I didn't
like,
get it.
Shark. Okay, sure. You can be the shark. Yeah. I don't know. Whales are bigger. Like, you know what? Why shark? But that was really amazingly
that was really
said.
Good.
Thank you. All thanks to Groupon. Groupon, please sponsor us in the next podcast. All right. Shamil, you're next.
Okay. I have two different sections that actually I just stumbled upon when, to me, they reflect a little Krishna's feeling in one and Arjuna's feeling in the other. So I just thought they're nice to bring up. It wasn't even about the first one, it was my own feeling. So this one, I when I read it, I thought, oh, this made us all actually, I think, tear up back in that episode where Krishna says, The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Ugh, I love that because it makes me think Krishna's not above us. Krishna's not, well, he is technically, of course, but he is not beyond feeling our feelings. He is totally there feeling it with us. The imagery, Shama, you pointed out of him giving Draupadi the sari with tears in his eyes. And actually, I think we should book note for another episode, maybe we could share moments where we felt Krishna is there feeling it with us, because that could get into, we have some stories, which I don't think we should prioritize right now, because that's such a special feeling when you really feel like I am in a reciprocation, in a relationship that's real with God, and you can feel him feeling your emotion there with you. That's so special. He's not just there doing his great things. He's totally feeling it. Anyway, and then the following text 10 is also that when we love him, he gives us the understanding to come to him. Mm. I just love that, reflecting Krishna's feeling. So he's going to show us the way. All we need to do is love him. We don't need to be such scholarly people. Like, no, we can't do it with our own intellect.
Yeah. And that connects right to what we were saying, because you can connect to Krishna through seeing the stars, to looking at animals, to looking at nature, to looking, all these verses give you different ways in which you can love Krishna by seeing him in other things, right? In the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the ocean, in the sunsets and the sunrises. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just connect to him in whichever way you can. Krishna is literally everywhere. In everything, in everyone.
Yeah.
And if we just take the time to see it, we can appreciate the world so much more.
Yes. Nice connection to that. Yeah. Well, see it, him in nature, and then he'll show you the way to him, or see him everywhere. Love. Yeah. That's all he wants.
Yeah.
Priya, you're...
I've said my two earlier. I think it's time.
Is it time?
Wait. The last thing, the only one thing I want to bring up, which is sweet, because we just wrapped up all of the opulences. And the one text that I saw from Arjuna before he asks, please tell me your opulences, just, it was striking to me because there was an exclamation point at the end, which you don't see many exclamation points in this. And it shows Arjuna's feeling. He just says... He's talking to Krishna. He says, you alone know yourself by your own internal potencies. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of God, Lord of the universe, exclamation point. Ooh. And that just shows you Arjuna's feeling to Krishna, you know? I love that. It hit me and I thought, no, I got to bring that up.
No, cool. And if this is a song of God, right? If the Bhagavad Gita is a song of God, and if he was singing that part, that's like when it goes up.
When it goes
crescendo.
Up.
Crescendo. So, that's it. Crescendo. I don't know anything about music, but yeah, crescendo.
So
yeah.
we're about to bring the crescendo. Oh, it's all segueing perfectly.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, so we asked ChatGPT to give us a summary of chapter 10, but in the form of a rap. Okay?
Nice. Abhijay, you're going to beatbox for us?
Yeah.
Let's go, ladies.
All right. Yo, listen up. Let me spin the tale. Chapter 10, Gita's Divine Trail. Krishna's glory is Vibhuti Yoga, where he shows his power like a supernova.
He is the source, the ultimate divine, manifesting everywhere in every sign, from the mighty mountains to the smallest flea. Krishna's presence for all to see.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Woo. Go Krishna, go Krishna.
He's the lion's roar, the eagle's flight, the blazing sun in all its might. Krishna's the essence in every form, teaching Arjuna it's time to transform!
Oh, you. From wisdom to victory, he is the key, the power within for all to see. Krishna's the rhythm in every beat, guiding Arjuna to find his feet.
Woo!
So listen close, let your heart ignite with Krishna's presence shining bright in every moment, in every breath. He's the guiding, leading to life's depth.
Yeah!
Oh yeah.
That's chapter 10, the Gita's divine spree, Krishna's glory for you and me. So embrace his light, let your soul unfold. In every story, his truth is told.
Woo! Hey! All right! Okay!
Very nice.
We sound
very
like
nice.
Those like old people that are singing rap songs for kids, you know? It's like, we're songs for kids.
it's like those little reels where like what you think you look like and you're rapping all cool and then what you actually look like an 80-year-old person. Oh yeah, work it.
You know those dance pop CDs like that take rap songs but make them for children?
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
It's so lame, but it had to be done.
It's like,
you gotta go to the party. Gotta go right now.
I think we crushed it, ladies. That was so good. And that was a beautiful recap of the whole chapter 10.
Oh, yes. Snap.
So please join us next time as we start chapter 11.
Oh my God. Beautiful journey with you guys.
Oh my goodness.
Join us next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.